Amen and amen. I wonder, when you look around the world today, and even look around our province or our nation, how do you feel? Do you feel concerned? Do you feel challenged? The sad reality is that many of God's people do not feel very much, because it seems to be that there is an indifference even among the people of God as they look upon this great nation, upon this beloved province that God has placed us in and purposed us to be. But friend, if you are concerned, if you have a burden for this land and for this people and for your family circle in this community, you ask the question, well, what can I do? What can we do in this day of darkness and this day of continuing apostasy, which is around us on every hand? And make no mistake about it, there are indeed the dark clouds of deep apostasy that's gathering across this great nation. This land is far away from God. And many of the foundation principles that our nation stands upon has not only corroded, friend, but has been destroyed. So what will the righteous do in such a situation? When we come to this 37th chapter, and I want you to open your Bibles, and I want you to follow, because there's a message here for our hearts, for the people of God. You see, the book of Ezekiel has two great themes that are interwoven throughout the book. On the one hand, it deals with the punishment of God that came upon Israel because of her sin. Remember, she was brought into bondage. She was brought into captivity because of her sin. But thank God, there's a second great theme in this book, and that is the deliverance that God was going to give because of his grace. And so many people see nothing, only darkness, but thank God, the word of God says, unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. And thank God, I believe with all my heart that God is not finished with us yet, that God is still a work for us to do, and God is still greater days for us to come if we follow him and follow his way. Now, the book of Ezekiel is written by the prophet it is called after. And the word Ezekiel, or the name Ezekiel, means God will strengthen, or strengthened by God. And friend, let me tell you, that is where our refuge and that's where our strength is in today. That's what the psalmist says. God is our refuge and strength. He is that very present help in trouble. And we need strength today, in a dark and evil generation in which we live, and we need to be strengthened by God. Now, Ezekiel was a contemporary of the prophet Daniel, and it is clear from the visions that he was given during his years of ministry that the people of God needed challenged, and they needed to be strengthened. And I believe that through Ezekiel, there was a strengthening ministry, and that's a great ministry. You know, there's an awful lot of people that are out there to discourage you and to drive you down. I want to tell you, my friend, Barnabas was a son of consolation, and we do need Barnabases in this day of darkness. We need those sons of consolation that whenever we're down, that will reach that hand of God and used by God to lift us up and to strengthen us, to set us upon our feet again, to move forward and to go forward in the Savior's precious and the Savior's lovely name. The psalmist cried out. He says these words, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 2, the prophet of God cries, "O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, O God, in wrath remember mercy." Friend, we need to see a gracious reviving of the Spirit of God in this day in which we live. Now, you'll notice whenever you turn to this book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, I want you to notice it says here in verse 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." My, that's a wonderful thing when the hand of God's upon you. And we need the hand of God upon us. Joseph in his day of darkness, even imprisonment, the hand of the Lord was upon him, and there was that sustaining hand of God in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble. Maybe God's people, some of you are going through trials today. Well, I trust that the hand of the Lord will be upon you to sustain you, to give you grace. Because remember these words, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's not your strength or your grace. It's my grace, says God, that is sufficient. We need the sufficiency of the grace of God to meet our every need. So it tells us here that the hand of the Lord was upon me. But not only was the hand of the Lord upon him, it says, and the hand of the Lord carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. Now God wanted to show his servant a scene. It was a sad scene. But God wanted to show his servant the scene before God would reveal to a servant what he could do. And my friend, I believe with all my heart, before you and I will be really used of God to meet the need of this hour under the hand of God, we must see the need of the hour. Many of God's people do not see the need, and many of God's people are sleeping in the midst of a day of awful darkness and desolation and decay and destruction and apostasy on every hand. Many of God's people, perhaps even, maybe even here this morning, you've lost the vision that once you had. Remember the word of God says, without a vision, the people perish. I remember in the early days of my years in the ministry in the Free Presbyterian Church, amongst our congregation, there was a great stir among God's people. There was a spirit of revival. There was a spirit where God was really moving and God was saving and God was really thrilling the hearts of God's people. And there was a great excitement among the people of God. They were excited. Why? Because they had a vision. They had a vision. And I pray that God will give us as Free Presbyterians in this day and generation, that God will give that vision to our young people. That God would give that vision to not only the young people, but we as perhaps those of us who are the older generation, that God would give us that vision again. Revive thy work. Oh God, revive it again. And friend, that's what we need. We need not what man could do. People look for some man to step forward and might do this or do that. I want to tell you what we need today is God to step forward and move in our midst. We need the Spirit of God again to really move amongst his people and to bless him. And so it says here that the hand of the Lord was upon him. You see, that means the Lord drew graciously near. For God to put his hand upon you, friend, he's got to be beside you. He's got to be near. Oh, God, come near and visit us again. And then he carried Ezekiel away or out in the spirit of the Lord. Now, this was not an emotional excitement of the charismatic movement. But I want to tell you, my friend, God, this was not of the flesh. This was of God. It says here, he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. This was all of God. This was not manufactured by man. People are looking for excitement today. They want something more. I want to tell you, you can get nothing more than the Lord. You need nothing more than the Lord. Because he's everything. And we need a mighty intervention of the Lord. And so we find that the spirit of the Lord carried him. But God wanted them to see a vision. God wanted them to see a scene that was so important. And I believe that if you and I could only catch a vision of that scene, because what we see here is what is happening in our nation today and in our churches today, then we would see the answer and find the answer in the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So what happened, friend? Notice, first of all, the stirring revelation. Because it says here in verse 1, not only was he carried out in the spirit of the Lord, but it says that the Lord set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, what we have here is a desperate sight. It was a very sad sight that Ezekiel was witnessing, because the Spirit of the Lord sat him down in a valley that was full of dry bones, full of bones. And verse number 2 says, lo, they were very dry. It's not a pretty picture. It says there were very many in verse 2. Behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. So what we see here is a picture of utter desolation. No person would have gone to this place for it except they had been taken there, because it's not a pretty picture. And yet we find that Ezekiel was taken there, and he was set down in the midst of this valley of dry bones. What a need there is in Ulster today. Because it's just like that valley of dry bones. And they're very dry. We need a vision. And he found this vision. And my friend, listen, it was a vision of dry bones, and there were very many of them. It was desolation, it was destitution, it was devastation, it was decay. Everything around them, it was a disaster. But it's not until you get the vision that you'll be stirred. And I pray that God will give to our people in the free churches a fresh vision. And God will take away the apathy. And God will take away the indifference. You know, many of God's people today are very happy. They're saved. Thank God we are. We're going to heaven. Thank God we'll never be in hell. We'll never burn in the damned for all eternity. But let me tell you, my friend, all around us today, in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhood, in our country, there are multitudes that are going to hell. But God's people are happy, content. All I need to do is just drop in now and again to God's house. Make it to God's house. Maybe an odd prayer meeting. But we have lost the vision, the stir that's in our hearts. Now, not only did God set him down in this valley of dry bones, friend, but notice what it says in verse 2. He caused me to pass by them round about. The Lord made Ezekiel make a thorough survey of this tragic, ghastly scene. God wanted to see this. Now, what was this? Let me tell you. This was a huge battlefield, but the slain had not been buried. This had been a scene of slaughter. Because you'll notice, my friend, there are no corpses here. There are no skeletons here. There's nothing, only bones. And the bones are scattered everywhere. Skulls, hands, feet, arms, legs. But they're not hooked together. They're scattered everywhere. Bones that had been picked by the vultures. Bones that had been bleached by the sun. Bones that have been lying so long that the wind has dried the juices and the marrow of the bones. And they were turning to dust. Very many. No sign of life. Nothing. Only death. You see, friend, a tragedy has happened here. A battle has been lost here. Those that have gone into this battle, they've been defeated by their enemies, and their bodies were left to rot. And their bones were so scattered and so disconnected that it was nothing else, only a scene of destruction. But I want you to remember one thing. Once there was life here. Because these were bones of real people.
Once there were living people here. The men that had gone into the battle here were real people just like you and me. They had gone in seeking victory, but alas, they were overcome by the enemy. They were slain, they were slaughtered. But once there was life. Once the heart used to beat. Once the minds used to think. Yes, once there was life. But now, death. Maybe there's someone here in the service this morning, friend, and just look back over your life. Set your mind back whenever the Lord saved you. Do you remember that night that the Lord saved you and gave you the joy in your heart? And my, there was a zeal for God and a love for the things of God. And my, you wanted the scriptures. You wanted to search the scriptures. You wanted to be at God's house. You wanted to be at the prayer meeting. You wanted to be among the people of God. My, you were on fire for God. But where are you this morning? Is that fire still there? Is it still burning? Do you still love the place of prayer? Is that the place where you want to be? I joyed when to the house of God go up, they say to me, but my friend, be honest before God. Is it a drudgery to get to God's house? Because you've lost where you used to be. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, your strength. Have you lost the joy? What did the hymn writer say? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Here, my friend, listen, this is a dry place. The bones are dry, very dry. Some of them are turning to dust. And what has happened? Something has happened. They've been defeated by the enemy. We can say, as the scripture says, an enemy hath done this. You see, friend, when an army was defeated in Bible times, the victorious soldiers, they often came and they stripped the valuables from the slain and they left their bodies unburied. This wasn't a picture of graves. It's a picture of bones. I'm sad to say, the devil has robbed many of God's people of the love and the joy they once had for Christ. Is that you or me? Friend, let's be honest. God, the Holy Spirit of God, listen, carried Ezekiel to the... He wanted them to see this. The Bible says, he caused me to pass by them round about. What does that mean? He wanted Ezekiel to pass through them. And that there, as Gill the commentator said, round means round several times, so that he might see just exactly the desolation and the defeat and the decay. What a revelation. But let's move quickly. Notice secondly, the soul-searching responsibility. Because it says in verse 3, and he, that's the Spirit of the Lord, said unto me, or the Lord said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? In other words, is it useless? There's no use going on. You know, many of God's people are so discouraged they feel like giving up. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to be discouraged. The devil wants to take away the joy. The devil wants to take away the zeal from your heart. My, the devil wants you to be so caught up with the desolation and all that there is around you that you don't see the hand of God in the midst of it all. Surely, friend, when we see the death, it should turn our eyes to the Lord to see that only God can meet this need. Man cannot.
There is no man that's going to come onto the scene, my friend, that can meet this need. Yes, God has a man for the day and the generation. But I want to tell you, that man is you and me. Every child of God. I looked for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. What an awful tragedy. God's looking for you, friend. God's looking for you to stand in the gap. And here we find us, as Ezekiel looks upon this devastation, God asks him this question: can these bones live? And humanly speaking, the answer is no. It's over. It's over. Many of God's people have lost the will to battle against the apostasy. And the great declension and the falling away and the Romeward trend that's still going on in this province. Not a Romeward trend, friend. An absolute gallop. But many have lost the will to fight in the battle. And they say it's no use. Hopeless. How many times have I heard that? When I've talked to people about the situation, even in our problems, they say, Brother McCray, we're finished. We're finished. They've given up hope. They've nearly given up the will to live. Can these bones live? Listen, if you'd have been standing where Ezekiel stood and you had asked that question, can these bones live? What would your answer have been? No. Absolutely impossible. But notice that's not what Ezekiel said. Let's look at the scripture says. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And that's the only answer that faith can give, friend. O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, of course, God's omniscient. He didn't ask Ezekiel the question for information. You see, what appeared hopeless and dead is hard to find any answer that would say, yes, they can live. But God was teaching Ezekiel a lesson, and let us learn this lesson today. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And amidst all the desolation, in the midst all of the decay, friend, don't lose sight of the Lord. For there's your answer. Our hope is in the Lord. You know, the old proverb is, where there's life, there's hope. But there's no life here. As a valley full of dead bones, very many, very dry. You see, the Lord wants Ezekiel to see the difficulties of the work, that he might be driven to an absolute reliance upon God for the answer. And that's what we need to be taught again today. Without me. Isn't that what Jesus said? Without me, ye can't do nothing. In other words, Ezekiel knew that as far as man was concerned, man was powerless. The answer depended upon the Lord. Lord, thou knowest. There's where the answer lies. The answer lies in the Lord. So what do we say? Well, if it's going to be revival, that's up to God. No, friend. God uses instruments. And in this book, there is the sovereignty of God. And I tell you this, God is sovereign not only in some things, God is sovereign in everything. But God also in this book has given to us the responsibility of man. Man has a responsibility to be used of God and to be the instruments of God for the glory of God. And so when he said, Lord, thou knowest. Look at verse 4. Again he said unto me. It's great when the Lord's speaking to you, isn't it? And it's great when your ear's sensitive to hear him. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I'll bring flesh upon you, I will cover you with skin, I will put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And God asked Ezekiel to do a strange thing. Now remember where he's standing. He's standing in a valley of nothing else, only scattered bones. Very many, very dry. No flesh in them, just scattered bones. And God says to him, prophesy unto these bones. Preach unto these bones. Scattered, dry bones. If you were to walk down the street, friend, and you saw a man preaching to a skeleton, what would you think? You'd probably call maybe for a doctor, or you'd call for a policeman, because you say this man's dangerous. He's preaching to a skeleton. You read the book of Ezekiel, and you'll find that God told Ezekiel to do many strange things. But every one of them had a purpose. I haven't time to go. Listen, God told him to eat a roll one day, and it wasn't a sausage roll. It was a scroll of lamentations and mournings and woes. God told him in chapter 4 to shut himself up in a house. God told him to lie on his left side for 390 days. God told him to lie on his right side for 40 days. God told him to eat a strange diet. God told him to take a sharp knife and cut the hair of his head and his beard, and then burn a part of his hair and scatter a part of it. All strange things. But every one of them had a purpose. You see, with God, there's always a purpose. There are no accidents with God, friend. You remember that. There are no accidents. There are appointments with God. There are incidents with God. There are no accidents. God always has a sovereign purpose in everything. And everything that God said to Ezekiel had got a purpose. And God says, now listen, I want you to do the foolish thing. I want you to stand and I want you to preach unto those bones. You know, it seems to be that people are ashamed of the things of God today. I tell you, in the early days of the Free Church, we did strange things. And humanly speaking, we did foolish things. But I can tell you, God blessed it. Because we did the things that God showed us to do. And as far as they were concerned, they were foolish. But with God, they're in his sovereign plan. You see, why would Ezekiel preach unto these dead bones? Look at verse 7. So I prophesied. So I did. I preached. Why would he do it, friend? Notice what it says in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. In other words, I did what I was told. And child of God, let me tell you, in the book of Judges it says this, every man did that which is right in his own eyes, and that's the spirit of this generation. Ezekiel did not preach unto these because this is what Ezekiel wanted to do. He said, I did it because I did as I was commanded. In other words, God told me, I'm his servant. All I've got as servant is to do what the master says. And that's still true. Do you remember what Mary said unto the disciples? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. And if God tells you to go and speak to someone, friend, about their soul salvation, I beg you in God's name, do it. Because I tell you this, you'll regret it if you don't. And God told Ezekiel, why did he do it? Because God commanded it. Did he see sense in it? Maybe not. Did he think it was a waste of time? Maybe he did. But listen, he did it because God told him. And God's not wasting your time in fulfilling his command. What did he preach? What did he preach? What was he told to preach, friend? Go back to verse 4. Again he said unto you, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, listen to these words, hear the word of the Lord. That's you to preach. You're to preach God's word. And that's what this world needs today. They need preachers. They need men to stand in the pulpit and preach. To preach the whole counsel of God. To preach what? The word of the Lord. For the word of God is still powerful. It's still quick and powerful. It's still sharper than any two-edged sword. People are looking for gimmicks to try and attract the people. Let me tell you, God calls his preachers to preach the word. Never forget this. There's power in the word. There's devil-defeating power in the word. There's soul-saving power in the word. There's life-changing power in the word. Thank God the word is powerful. And that's exactly what he did. What has God asked you and me to do, friend? He asks us to be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to the souls of men and women by the faithful proclamation of the word. Notice, God promised results. Notice what God says in verse 6. I will. I will. You preach, and God says, I will. And then it says in the end of verse 6, and ye shall. I will, ye shall. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Only God can do this, friend. And notice quickly what happened. Time's quickly gone. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, notice this. As I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Listen, bone, mark these words. Bone to his bone. Not bone to any other bone. No, bone to his bone. The bones were scattered everywhere. There's an absolute mess. Nobody could have picked out which bone was which. But I can tell you this, my friend. God knows exactly where every bone was lying. And as God's servant did as God said and fulfilled the purpose that God had for him, God did a mighty work. It says, behold, there was a shaking. And I'll tell you, you see, when God starts moving, there'll be a shaking, all right. And let's be honest, God needs to shake us, his people. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And there is a shaking. And I can tell you this, whenever God moves in a mighty way, that shaking may not necessarily be the way that you expect it to be. Powerful, unseen magnet of God was activated, and bone whizzed past
other bones through the air. And they came bone to his bone. In other words, the original partners as God began, God brought them together again. See, God's the God of order. God's not the God of confusion. He's the God of order. And was bone to his bone. And what happened then? Quickly, friend, listen. Verse 8, and when I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now notice how God did things. He didn't say, let's pull the flesh together, and then let's squeeze the bones inside the skin, and then we'll put the muscles over them. No, didn't happen that way. There's a proper process. The bones came together, and then the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, and then the skin covered them above. It was a body again. But there's still one problem. It was a better scene to look on because we had the bodies now, not scattered bones. But there's no life. No life. They had the appearance of life, but they were still dead. And maybe there is someone here this morning. And maybe you have put on the show of appearance of spiritual life, but you're not saved. I tell you, friend, a sham profession of faith in Christ will not take you to heaven. It's only God's salvation. You need reality. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sin and turn to the Lord. And only God can do this mighty work. For salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Here's the last thought and we're through. The supernatural resurrection. You see, God wasn't finished with Ezekiel after these bodies are lying around. Verse 9. And he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Let me tell you, friend, we need revival. But man can't organize revival. Revive thy work, O Lord. Wilt that thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice, and the only God can do it. You see, we have the bones. They were in their place. We have the brain. It was in the head, but it hadn't been thinking. The lungs were in the body, but they weren't breathing. The heart was in its place, but it wasn't beating. Until the breath. Prophesy unto the winds. And then it says this, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Breathe upon us breath from heaven. Revive thy church with life and power. But notice one little thing. Once that body came together and once the breath came in, it says this, they lived, but that's not the end. It says they stood up on their feet. In other words, they took a stand. an exceeding great army.
Whenever Ezekiel saw the picture, first of all, exceeding great defeat. That's all there was. Signs of defeat and desolation and destruction. But God stepped in, friend, and that very same scene turned.
And now an army standing on his feet, taking a stand. How did it happen? God. And that's what Ulster needs. It needs an intervention of God. Will you pray that God will come again? Be merciful. O God, revive thy work, O Lord. In the midst of the years, make known. O God in wrath, remember mercy. We need the Lord. And thank God he's only a call away. If my people, which are called by my name, that's the secret, friend, shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, repent of their sin. You know what God says? I'll forgive their sin. And God says, I'll heal their land.